ever dreamed of. He wants to expand our ability to dream, our ability to, by faith, to see what's possible in His name. Amen? For with Him, all things are possible. I will take kind of right off where we left off this morning. I left a lot on my table. Amen? So if you would, open up to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Now remember, we talked about this morning that you and I, we have a calling. And in that calling, to ensure the success that God has destined us to have, He wants us to utilize everything that's at our disposal. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that always brings to your remembrance what God has said. And when you speak that unction of that word that's brought to your remembrance, it frames your world, and it also puts God's holy angels into action. And so we're going to build on that tonight, amen, and we're going to see what, we're going to look at some examples, I think, that will encourage us. What God says, what God's Word says, rather than what the enemy shows me. Hallelujah. So, with that being said, I'm glad you're here tonight, amen. I'm glad, I tell you, you know, David said that he looked forward to coming to the house of the Lord. You know, and that's what we do. We look forward to being with in God's presence, but I look forward to seeing you. Because you bring something with your presence that blesses me. And I want you to know that, and I appreciate it so much. Psalms 34, let's to get the full thought of what's being said, let's just start with verse number 1. Psalms 34, verse number 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. He said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto Him, and they were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. Notice verses 6 and 7. The poor man, the very humble man, cried. He cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some of his troubles. All of his troubles. Hallelujah. Now notice how he does it. How does God bring the deliverance? Verse number 7. This is keying in on what we talked about this morning. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and deliver them. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him. Say, that's me. And delivereth them. Hallelujah. Brother Whitby, would you pray? Yes.
And the Father, that we're blessed.
Yes.
Father, we can carry this blessing to somebody else. We give you the praise for it.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Whitby. Thank you for honoring the Word. So, this morning we talked about in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14, that God's angels... He says in verse number 7, Hebrews 1 and 7, that His angels, He makes them spirits. And in verse 14, then He calls them ministering spirits. And so they are to be a ministering spirit to those who are heirs of salvation. That's you and I tonight. Amen? And it doesn't say minister to, it says minister for. They're to minister for you and I. So, in other words, that word minister is where we get the modern-day word deacon, but it means to be an aid, to be an attendant. It means to be in the place where a need is and the need's met. Oh, glory. And so God has a plan, and in His plan, He wants us to know and understand that you will not encounter any situation, you will not encounter any plan of the devil that he is not aware of. And He has the plan, and He has the facilitation of power by His holy angels, His ministering spirits, to work at the command of your word. Now, your word is not your word, but it's His word. Amen? And so when we speak the word of God, it's just as if God is speaking it, because you're using the name of Jesus. You have that power of attorney, that authority of His name. And when you speak it, they hearken to that. Amen? And so let's talk about that. Now, He made a promise to us there that we need to stand on. He said in verse number 7 that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear God, that reverence the Lord. How many of you reverence the Lord? Every one of you tonight, right? So you have a promise. You have a promise that no matter where you're at, the angel of the Lord is camped round about you. Now, if you go camping, that means you're abiding. You're staying somewhere. Amen? So the angel of the Lord is staying around you. He's staying around me. And Jesus Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, abides in you. So no wonder greater is He that is in us than He's in the world. Amen? And so we've got a call on our life, and the devil wants to stop the call of God. He wants to stop your assignment. But as we talked about this morning, he can't do it because there's a promise here, and that promise is the angel of the Lord is going to deliver you and I out of every destructive plan that the enemy has. Glory. So here we are tonight. We need to build our faith on this. Because God is, I'm telling you, I know I keep talking about it, but I want you to anticipate it. I want you to be looking for it and believing for it. The floodgates are going to open, and God is going to raise up His people, His church, to meet needs. And when you and I come into place of meeting needs, the devil is always going to try to stop it. Amen? But we've got to say, no matter what destructive force is at work, we have a deliverer. That's Jesus. But Jesus has His angels that He chooses to use. We don't worship angels, but we appreciate what God's gave us. Amen? All right. So, let's remind ourselves what we talked about. Psalms 103, we talked about what gets the angels' attention. Psalms 103, verse number 20. Psalms 103, verse number 20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels." And now, just to refresh our course where we were at this morning, in case you've laid it aside, it's easy to understand, or in case you wasn't here, we said, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels." How is the Lord blessed by His angels? He is blessed when there is a need in your life and my life, and we know what the Word says, and we speak the Word in that need, in that situation, and the angels are able to excel in the strength of the Word of God. See, they only react, they only move by the Word of God. And we know the Word of God is Jesus, and the Word of God is all-powerful. Amen? It's quick, it's sharp, and it has the ability to divide between spirit, soul, and body. In Hebrews 4, it tells us that, down about verse 12 or so. And so, here's the power of the Word of God, and they're waiting for you to say what needs to be said. And so we talked about this morning that if God's angels, if they hearken to His Word, then the devil's angels hearken to anything that is contrary to the Word of God. So if we're in a place where we keep meeting the devil head on continually all the time, and or we're in a place of defeat, in a place of lack, we need to check up on our speech. We need to check up on what's happening, because it's not meant to be that way. Now, there's seasons in our lives where we meet the devil and we battle and all of these things happen, but we're not to always be in a place where our head's beating against the wall. Amen? We've all been there. But God wants you to be a victorious group of people, and He wants you to walk with your head up high. He wants you to let the light that is in you shine out. Amen? All right, so He said, "Bless you the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word." So they only follow the commandments of the Lord. They need a voice. And so we said this morning that you need to be a voice for the Word of God. God has gave you a voice. He has gave me a voice. And we know that we can change our world, because Hebrews 11 and 3 tells us that God framed the whole universe, the whole thing, by His words. And so if we're not liking the way our life is, if we're not liking the way things are, we need to say, Lord, help me. We make us an altar and we get alone with the Lord and we say, what do I need to say? What can I speak differently? How can I get some help? I need some angels on my behalf. I need some miracle working power. I need a command that will activate God's army that can be seen, but most of the time's not. Amen? All right. So let's look at some examples. Let's be, like Brother Whitby said, let's be quick to hear with our spiritual ear, and let's don't let our natural mind rationalize or take away the power of what God can do. Amen? So let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. And let's see where there was a destructive force at work, the enemy. And God moved and ministered, but he done it because of the church. And he done it by an angel. Now think about it. You know, you and I, we're in a place where we think that our need is so great and so big, but God had one angel that destroyed 5,000 Assyrian soldiers? One angel. And we talked about this morning that Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, that your angels, plural, always behold the face of God. So you've got at least two. One destroyed 180-something thousand in one night. You've got two. Come on. Glory! Come on now. You've got things at your disposal. You're not a defeated foe. Amen? All right. So let's look and see here. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Herod, his name meaning hero, he's a hero of the enemy. He's a hero of the world. And he stretched forth his hand. Now, I want you to understand what that means. Remember what Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 9, down about verse 62. It said that you and I are to put our hand to the plow and not look back. So when it talks about putting your hand to something, your hand is anointed. And so when you put your hand to something, the anointing power of God flows in it and changes situations. Here we have the anointing of the enemy to try to bring hurt and bring destruction. But the Bible said that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and delivers them from their destructions, all their destructions, right? So let's see what God does. Verse number 2. Here's what Herod did. But God's going to be on the scene. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. Can you imagine being that hard-hearted? That the death of a person pleased you? Come on now. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, the days of Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers. Now think about this. He delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers. Here Peter is. He's got a soldier handcuffed to his left, we'd say, or chained, and chained to his right. And then he's got a soldier in front of him and a soldier behind him. They're going to make sure, and there are four quadrants, there are four watches, so there's 16 soldiers in a 24-hour period that is assigned to keep Peter in jail. Why? Because Acts chapter 5 told us that God just let him out before. Because God delivers his children. Amen? He was intending, the next part of the verse, intending after Easter. This is the only place that you'll get Pascha in the King James Version Bible translated as Easter. Because Easter is Ishtar. It's not God's feast. This is a worldly feast. Amen? to bring him forth to the people. Verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, notice this. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You don't recognize, I don't recognize sometimes, we let the devil convince us otherwise, the power of your prayer, of my prayer, in the name of Jesus. Now, the devil's hero, Herod, he's got it all planned out. He's wanting to please the people. The devil has a plan today. He's tried to manipulate. He is the god of this world that blinds, and he's trying to get a group of people on his side, and he wants to get the majority, and he's wanting to sway everything that God wants to do in and through the church, but he's not going to do it. You and I, we are the church that Jesus said he was building, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Amen? And so, no matter what it looks like tonight in situations and circumstances, you have the victory. You have a God that is encamping around about you, that has his angels there waiting for you and I to what? To talk to God about it. So here the church is. They've been seen James, one of the foundational members of the church. They've laid him to rest, and they saw his head took from his body. And so now they decide to get serious. See, we have no mention that they even prayed for James. That's why the leaders of the whole church in America is calling for us to pray for our nation and to pray for our leaders, because we're in a critical time. But even in this critical time, you and I can see things changed by prayer. Amen? And we can see God come on the scene. So all of a sudden, after they seen what happened, they got shook up and they found their knees. And they found, as they hit their knees, their power. You and I, we have power when we come to that place of prayer. Amen? And so they're talking to God, and they're talking to him without ceasing. And that's what Paul commanded us to do, pray without. So prayer is not necessarily on my knees. Prayer is a lifestyle. You and I, as we live our life, we're in the mode of prayer because we're in the mode of continually communicating with God. Amen? Because he abides in us. We abide in him. He is that vine, Jesus said, and we are the branches inside of him. So here they are. They see this need, and they're talking to God about it. Verse number 7. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now see, that's just like the devil. The devil, he wants to bind up God's people. And sometimes when you feel like that you're the most bound up, that's when you in reality and truth have the most freedom. Because every time the devil comes against one of God's children, God, he manifests his grace to us. And with the grace of God, you and I, we have the sufficiency to be able to stand, and then the ability to be able to move forward and show the glory of God, that we can't be bound. Whom Jesus makes free, whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. Amen? That's who you are tonight. And this is our message to people that we're going to come in contact with that are bound in so many ways. But we've got to have not just the Word, not just Jesus, not just the Father. We've got to have the whole army of God helping us do what he's called us to do. The church here, they're praying. And that activated God. And as that activated God, then that activated the Word of God. And as the Word of God got activated and got spoke out in prayer, guess what? The holy angels started being moved. And all of a sudden, the one who was assigned to Peter, the one that's assigned to you tonight, is waiting on you to say what needs to be said. Peter was asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but if they cut my foundational partner's head off, I would have a little issue. But he was what? He was in faith. He was able to lay down between those two guards and go to sleep, because whether I live or whether I die, whether you live or whether you die, it's going to be okay. Amen? So that's his mindset, that's his attitude. But here he is, God had another plan because God wasn't finished with it. God isn't finished with you tonight. We are alive for such a time as this. Your ministry is not done. Listen, by the Spirit of God, your ministry is not done. You have not done everything God's called you to do, and He's going to raise you up. He's going to open up doors for you and I to be able to do what He called us to do. Amen? Another message for another time. All right. He said, verse number 7, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him." Now, don't you love that? It didn't say come to him. The angel of the Lord come upon him. There was a unity there because of Peter's faith and what Peter had been speaking, what the church had been speaking, and he come upon him. Now notice this. "And a light shined in the prison." You, every place that you see mention of one of God's angels, there's always light. There's a glory. Because their glory is determinant in their amount of time that they spend around the throne. See, they go and they spend time around the throne. They get full of the light and the glory of God. And when the manifestation of the Word comes for them to go forth, they go forth in all that glory around the altar, the fire of God. What do you think it does to the devil and his group? Come on, the God that is blinded, the light hurts them. The light disrupts them. The light confuses them. Come on now, because we are children of the day, not of the night. The children of the night, they can't handle what you can handle. Amen? All right. "The light shined into the prison, and he smote," I thought, find that very interesting, "he smote Peter on the side," and notice this, "and he raised him up." Glory. Are you ready to be raised? I'm always ready to climb higher in the Lord, aren't you? "He raised him up, and he had a word for him." He said, now notice this. This Peter, he has 8 steps here that brings freedom in his life. And you and I today, the number 8 in Bible numerics, it means new creature, new creation. If we'll follow the steps that God brings to us, we'll always have a newness. The Bible said, walk in the newness of life. Amen? And so here the delivering power starts working in Peter's life. And the angel said, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Now he's bound. The 2 guards are asleep. And he's got to make a choice. Do I believe what I'm hearing or do I not? Now let's think in the natural just for a second. If I'm bound here between 2 Roman soldiers and they're asleep and I wake them up, they're going to beat me. Now we didn't know from Scripture that Peter's not for sure what he's seeing. He thinks he's seeing a vision. He doesn't think what he's happened is in reality. So if he thinks he's seeing a vision and he stands up and he wakes them up, the vision's over and here comes the beating. But he listens to the Word. We've got to listen to the Word and then we've got to do the Word. Amen? And if we'll do it, it'll always produce results. So when he stood up, the chains fell off. Tonight, I want you and I to tell God, whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. If we'll obey him, the chains will fall off. All right. Verse number 8. "And the angel said unto him," see, everybody wants God to talk to them. But if you don't do the first thing God says, he won't tell you the second thing. I don't know how many conversations I've had with people. I haven't heard from God since this. It's real simple. Because I have to tell myself all the time, so I'm in good practice to help you out. Go back to where you first heard the Word, do what he said, and the next word will come. Amen? "And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Now, I don't know about you, but can you see Peter here? We can understand that he's still in this stupor because if the chains fell off, I believe I would be getting my stuff ready. And but he's still in this place where he's trying to understand what's happening. And you and I tonight, we may not understand everything that's going on, but as long as the angel of the Lord is around you, it's going to be okay. Amen? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, it's going to be okay. All right. We don't have time to look at these 8 things, but verse number 9, and he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. But look at this. But he thought he saw a vision. Verse number 10. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Now notice this. Mark this down and highlight it in your Bible. It says, which opened to them of his own accord. Which opened unto them. Now this word opened is from the Greek word automos. It's where we get the English word automatic. We walk up to a store. We don't open the door. It automatically opens. We didn't come up with it. God had it in the beginning. Amen? So can you just imagine? Here Peter, he walks up to the gate, and the gate just swings open. Jesus wants to open the prison cells in people's lives. But he's got to have a church that'll believe him for it. And he's got to have a church that knows how to speak the word of God that'll move the angels, that'll cause the unseen hand of God to move in the life that is seen. Oh, there's not tonight there's people all over in this community right here tonight that need God desperately. And God is trying so hard to get us into a place and a position where we'll believe Him and we'll do what He's called us to do. Can you believe tonight that God wants to open the prison cell? Yes, you can, because you believe the Word of God. Amen. You know Jesus. You know what He done for you. And what He done for you, He'll do for somebody else. Amen. Which opened to them of His own accord, and they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So, I want you to see, here Peter is. God's got a plan for Peter's life. God has ordained it, as we talked about, from the foundation of the world, you have a gifting, you have a calling, you have an assignment on your life. But just because you've got an assignment, don't mean that you can just take it easy. Because the devil, every anointing for assignment from God, the devil has a plan or an agenda of evil to stop it. But God's church got down and they prayed. Now, when they prayed the word of God. They said, God, we know what your word says. You said that you'd give your angels charge over us, lest we should even dash our foot against a stone. They start speaking the word of God. You said that we would live and not die. You said that we would perform the works of the Lord. They start praying to God and they start saying these things. And as they start praying to God and start saying these things, they activate all the ministering spirits around. And all of a sudden, the angel that is assigned to Peter stands up. Now, you remember, you know that we've got scriptural foundation from the book of Kings where evil spirits stand up. Because they stood up and come to the throne of God and they said, I'll be a lying spirit and I'll cause Ahab to believe a lie and he'll come to his death. So we've got evil spirits that bring people to death. We've got God's delivering spirits that bring people to life. Amen? So let's look at this just a little deeper. Let's go to the Old Testament. And let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Now in Genesis chapter 18, you've got the Lord and the angel of the Lord and a couple of angels coming to Abraham. Look what it says, Genesis 18 and 1. Genesis 18 and 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he said in the tent door in the heat of the day. Verse number 2. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. This is what Abraham did. Verse number 3. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, and after that you shall pass on, and therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So you know the story. Abraham, he gets Sarai, or Sarah to start preparing the food, the bread. He gets his young servant to go out and to kill a young calf, and he prepares this feast for them because Abraham sitting in his tent door, it means that he was looking out his tent door. He was always looking for the Lord. That's you and I. We're looking for the Lord, not just his return, though thank God he's coming back, but we're looking for his manifestation of his word in our everyday life. What would you come to me and say? What would you come to me and want me to do? What would you come? And so Abraham realized everything he had, and he wanted to give what he had back to the Lord. That's you and I. We want to give everything we got back to the Lord. Amen. And so he recognized that this was a ordained moment. And that's what we've got to do as a church. We've got to recognize and realize that there's ordained moments in your life and my life when God shows up and he wants to reveal things to us. We need to understand, we need to have the spirit of Issachar on us. Remember it says that the children of Issachar, they had a spirit of understanding from the Holy Ghost of the times and the seasons. We need to see that we're in the season of the return of the Lord. But before he comes, he wants to get people saved. He wants to bring people out. And so we need to see that, and we need to know that, and we need to take advantage of it. And that's what this is an example of right here, the delivering power of God's angels, because somebody was listening to what God was saying. Okay. So, look what God brings revelation to him. Right down to verse 17, Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, here comes the revelation. You know the story, but let's stay fresh in our hearts. Verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, it's heavy, it's severe, he says in verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces. Now, we know that's not men. That's his angels, right? They turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So, all of a sudden, God has come to Abraham and he said, this is what I'm going to do, because it's time to judge this situation. And as he come to Abraham, Abraham come and he stood before God. And he knew where Lot was. Lot, being his nephew, he knew that he was in the midst of Sodom. And so all of a sudden, his heart is moved, and he wants something done about it. He saw those two angels leave the Lord and head towards Sodom. So he knew exactly what was going to happen. So he spends the rest of this chapter, you know it very well, he spends the rest of this chapter, he says, God, if there's only 50 there that are righteous, will you spare the city? God said, yes. And so he works his way down to 10. And he says, God, if there's only 10 righteous souls out of this whole area, will you spare it? And God said, I'll spare it. About 15 years ago, the Lord gave me a message at Price Grove, and it was called Just Six Short. That's what they had. They were Abraham. He stopped too quick. He was six short. Because he didn't have enough people there for God to spare it. But I want you to see the power of having a relationship with God and the power of the influence of angels. Okay? So let's go to chapter 19 and let's see what happens. I know you know the story, but we need to go over it. Genesis 19, it says in verse number 1, and there came two angels, so it wasn't men, it was angels, right? And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Now, what does that tell us? Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. That means that he has been elevated to a place of judge. Because if you sit at the gate in this time and an age, you represented it'd be like the Dover City Council. You had a say in what went on. You had a position of authority. Why did he have this position of authority? Because Abraham had delivered him before. Remember when the kings come against Sodom and Gomorrah and they brought them all into bondage, and Abraham got his 318 men, and they went and they brought back all the people and all the spoils? And so Lot could have got out then, but he didn't. He stayed there and he received prestige because his uncle brought the deliverance. All right, so here he is. He's at this place. And the Bible says that he is vexed. Right? Peter wrote that he was vexed day and night because of all of this sin. But yet he chose, he made the decision not just to pitch his tent towards Sodom, but ultimately to be a judge in a place of authority in that. But still, God what? God hearkens to Abraham. God hearkens to his people. And angels hearken to the word of God. Are we all together? Or okay. All right. And the two angels came to Sodom and evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways." And they say, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Verse 3. And he, Lot, pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So I want you to see here, the angels, they have come, and they've come on a mission, a mandate from God, to be able to look at what's happening and to judge the situation. And so here they are. And you know the story. All of a sudden, all the men of the city, they come to Lot's house. And they start by knocking on the door. And then they start by beating on the door. And they said, "Send these two men out that we may know them." And so we know what happens. But the angels of the Lord, these two angels, they smite the people with blindness. And so they're trying to get to the people even in their blindness. They still want those two angels. Their perversion is so strong that even in blindness they can't think about anything else. But here's the whole situation. In the midst of what is happening, and in the midst of bad decisions, in the midst of choosing unwisely, God is still working in Lot's life because of Abraham. Tonight, you may have some people that you love desperately and dearly, and they have turned their back on God, and they've made some bad choices, but I'm here to tell you, God will honor His covenant. It's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of mercy. And He will honor your words. He will honor your attitude. He will allow you to be an instrument of change in their life. And you may be the only thing that's between them and the fire of hell. But you've got to see that with your call, your assignment of being God's ambassador in this earth, the highest calling that there is, that you're going to have some help. Abraham couldn't go to Lot, but he knew who was going to be where Lot was. You and I, we can't get to where our lost loved ones are. We can't touch their heart, but we've got a God who has the Holy Spirit that can, and He's got holy angels that are working on His behalf, which is our behalf. Amen? And He can do it. So here's the situation. You know it, but drop down to drop down to verse number 13. Verse number 13. Genesis 19:13. The angel says, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked out into his sons-in-law. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, I don't know about you. I know I've got some issues. But if I had two angels that told me that destruction was fixing to come, I don't believe I would hang around all night. Do you? But I might do it. I don't know. I can't judge that situation, but I would pray to God that I would be ready to get out of there. But here, they have to hear this word again. But notice the angels, they have no mandate whatsoever from God about Lot. The only mandate they got was that God sent them there to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The mandate come from Abraham talking to God about saving the righteous in Sodom. Now, there weren't 10 there, but there were some righteous, because Peter said that Lot was righteous. So you see, God had an agenda that he had to take care of, but he honored his covenant with Abraham. You have a covenant like Abraham because you are of the father of faith. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy daughters. And notice verse 16. And while he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and sent him without the city. Now, can you see this? That is the grace of God. These angels literally reach out, Brother Larry, and grab Lot by the hand. God's doing a work. He's doing a work because I'm telling you, time as we know it is winding down. We're fixing to shift out of the dispensation of grace, and judgment is going to fall. But God's hand is working in the lost. God is not willing that they perish, but he wants you and I as a group of people to find an altar in our heart, a place of prayer, and he wants us to find a word from him to speak over those lost people, over our lost family, our lost friends, over a lost community. He wants you and I to believe him, and he wants us to dispatch somebody who is greater than the working of the devil to bring them out. Amen? Now, everything written in the Bible, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 10 verses, he tells us that everything that was written in the Old Testament is an example to you and I to learn from. He tells us that. He tells us in Romans 15, down about verse number 12. He said, I want you to look at everything in the Old Testament, and I want you to pull that type and shadow out, and I want you to put it into your life today. So today we need to see, yes, there's sin all around the world. There's a lot of things happening, but God is a delivering God. But what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to say what God said. We're going to be like Abraham. We're going to follow his example. He knew that God was a righteous God, but he knew that God was a merciful God. Amen? And so, no doubt, just as the church prayed for Peter, Abraham, he prayed for everyone, but he leaned up into God's ear. He said, remember, Lot. Remember, Lot. One of the last words of Jesus in Luke 17 is the very same thing to you and I. He said, remember Lot. Different scenario, but he wanted us to remember so we would do what Abraham did. Now think about it. These angels, they go and they hearken to the heart of Abraham, and they grab them out and bring them out. The Bible says that you and I are to pray for people, but we're to pray that they will recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, Lot's wife, the angel's hand was on her hand. She come out of Sodom, but Sodom didn't come out of her. But when we pray and we ask that God will help people deliver themselves out of that snare by the hand of the Holy Spirit and the working of the holy angels, things change. See, God's taken us somewhere tonight. He's taken us into all the promises of God. We're like Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Now, he done that by faith because he had done what God wanted him to do before that. See, you and I can never give God our fullness until we've started out where our faith is. So drop back to verse number 8. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place when he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Abraham was walking by faith. And he's our example. But as he walked by faith, he gave everything to God. And as he gave everything to God, he had a relationship with God that caused God's ear to be bent toward him, but it caused angels to act. And all through his life, you see the hand of God. And so you've got to know tonight that, well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 talks about these angels that were active in saving Peter and saving Lot. Look what it says. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, you're come to the church, in other words, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now notice this. To an innumerable company of angels. To an innumerable company of angels. When you come to the church of the living God, when you get born again, not only do you have your angels and I have mine, but there's warring angels. There's delivering angels. There's healing angels. There's worship angels. I mean, I don't even know. I've done a small study, and I say small because it's so big. I mean, angels, you can find it, angel or angels, 297 times in this King James Version Bible. It's a big deal. But when we come together, our angels are here, but also there's an innumerable number of angels. And they're waiting to be dispatched. Just think. There's an angel, I can't see, but I know by faith that there's healing angels over here. They're waiting to be dispatched. Waiting. And you and I, we are the ones who are called to dispatch them. Remember, bless ye the Lord, ye holy angels, who excel in strength, who what? They do His commandments, they only hearken unto His word. Okay, maybe this will help. Exodus 23, I believe it is. Let it be. Exodus 23, verse number 20. This is God talking. And He says, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place where I have prepared. Now, this is God talking to the children of Israel, and He's bringing them into the promised land. And remember, Paul said everything's written in the Old Testament is an example or a type or a shadow for you and I in the New Testament. So the promised land for us is every promise in this book. And so he told them, I got an angel that's going to bring you into the promised land. Tonight, He's got angels that help us get into the promises of God and help us to get other people into the promises of God. Look what it says about the power of the Word in their life. And I don't want to confuse anybody, but here we're probably talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. that's another study for another time. But look what God says about him. Verse number 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. So we know there's only one that pardons transgressions. So we know that this is the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. But he said, obey his voice. Meaning what? Meaning that the angel of the Lord is the word of God and follows the word of God and acts on the word of God. And so if we want the angel of the Lord to go before us and to lead us to all the promises, we've got to say what God says. We've got to be so cautious in these little things that stir up. See, we're either stirring up the spirit of God and God's angels, or we're stirring up the spirit of the devil and his angels. And so we've got to be very cautious to what we say and the way that we say it. Because, I can't speak for you, but I've made so many mistakes of saying, when something happened, I go, well, that figures. I figured that. No, I didn't. That's the flesh. You know, or go, well, they'll always be that way. God changes people. He changes me. He changes you. Amen? So, no, why would we want to put them in a box? No, we want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, is at work in their life. I thank you that your holy angels are surrounding them and protecting them. I thank you that the very traps that the devil is trying to place in their life that would cause them to trip and to fall is being placarded with your goodness, placarded with your love. In other words, they can't see those things that the devil to get their attention. I thank you that you have been given charge over them and you protect them in all of their ways. And every destructive plan of the devil, every destructive word that is trying to take as a seed hold in their life, I uproot it now. And I ask that your very truth by the Spirit of God be ministered in their life. Amen? We speak what God says over them, and we allow God's word and God's angels to make a change in their life. How did the three Hebrew children, how did they get delivered from the fire? The angel of the Lord said, one likened unto the Son of Man is the fourth one in the fire with them. Amen? Because why? Because they said, we're going to obey God and not you, O King. I'm trying to build your faith tonight. That's all I'm trying to do. Don't look at me like that. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to believe for more than you've ever believed for. I want you to put to charge what is at your hand. It's at your hand tonight. Amen? I want the Holy Spirit to teach us, because I want to see. I can't tell you everything. I'll give you just a little glimpse. God has brought two people into this church in the last couple weeks. One of them's name is High, the last name. The other one's name is Low. High, their last name is High. The other one's last name is Low. High and Low. God is covering everything. No, no. Okay. Anyway, you have to get along with the Lord. He'll show you some things about it. That's amazing what he's fixing to do.
Yes.
He's going to cover this whole community with revelation of his love and his power. It's going to show the highness of our God, and it's going to reach down to the lowest, the depth of sin, and pull him out of it.
Yes.
It's a word for us. God talks to us in so many different ways that we miss it. I got an email the other day from a store selling something. But as soon as I seen the email, I knew it was from God. Had nothing to do with it. The title of it was, Be What You're Supposed to Be. be what you're supposed to be. That's all God's asking us to do and be. It's what we're supposed to be, not what we feel like, not what the world says. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. Father, to the best of my ability, Lord, I've opened my mouth. I can do nothing no further. Now, by your Spirit, Lord, let this seed be received into our life. Lord, raise us to that place of perfect prayer, that place of perfect proclamation, that place of perfect power. Lord, when we've got prayer, when we've got proclamation, the power of God comes out of our lives, and the lost are saved, the bound are delivered, the sick are made whole. Lord, let it be. Let it be, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Let it burn inside of us tonight, the reality of what you have called us to do, and let us see these examples, and let us put them to practice in our own life, Father, for your glory. For your glory. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Father God, here I am. I want you to reveal to me what you would have me to do. I want you to show me areas of my life right now where I can put your ministering spirit, your holy angels to work in people's lives, where I can be all that you call me to be. Because I want to see your work done. I want to see the church added to daily. I want to see people's lives change. Would you come tonight? Would you come and say, Lord, I believe you. I receive this, and I want to put it to practice. Right now, there's somebody that's very discouraged. In the name of Jesus, you speak to that spirit. It's a spirit of discouragement. You say, I bind you, you spirit of discouragement, in Jesus' name. And you receive the refreshing of the Lord right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Let every lie fall and let truth be manifested in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.